that.
Charged admission.
And we're continuing our special series, I guess you can call it, relating to wartime issues. It's a shame, well, this should be theoretical very soon, and not so practical. But this is, in fact, a practical issue that comes up even bizman hazeh, even in the context of the current conflict. And that is the question of a wartime gittin. The idea that a soldier goes off to war, doesn't know if they're going to return alive or not from the battlefield, and doesn't know if they're not going to be a survivor, whether their remains will be found or identified based on whatever the circumstances that may be. And therefore, they want to take the appropriate precautions to ensure that the wife, if they are married, not to be an aguna based on an uncertainty regarding the plight of her husband. There was an additional concern that existed in times of old, and the truth is that the same concern exists even in times of new, which is that if a man goes off and he is sufficiently young that the couple does not yet have a child, it's not an unusual circumstance, especially for army soldiers, that in the event that he would die, and even if his remains would be identified, if he leaves behind, let's say, a brother who is not so observant, and the brother may not be willing to provide chalitza to the widow, or maybe the brother lives very far away and would not be reachable. That was certainly a possibility in the days of old, more so than today. And then he wouldn't want his wife to be an aguna, not in the sense that she has uncertainty regarding the death of her husband. Even if there would be absolute certainty regarding the death of her husband, she might be an aguna anyway, because she may not be able to get in touch with the brother-in-law or secure the brother-in-law's agreement to do a chalitza so that she would be able to remarry. So there was a practice which, according to the Gemara, existed already in the days of David HaMelech, that where before the soldiers would go off to war, they would authorize a get to be written for the wife, so that the wife would not have to worry about being an aguna, because she would have her divorce, and she wouldn't have to worry even if the husband would be found to have definitely died, to be an almana, who would be required to go through chalitza because she would be a grusha. So this practice is based upon a pasuk that has to do with when Yishai, father of David HaMelech, sent his son David HaMelech out to the battlefield, and when you still had Goliath, who was romping the battlefields and was threatening to kill anybody, and they needed to send a savior. And David, in the meantime, was not a soldier at the time, but he was sent by his father to take care of the welfare of his brothers who were on the battlefield. And take care of their needs. Arubasam tikach. Yes, the Gemara, what is res arubasam tikach? Matani Rabbi Yosef Dram Hamuravin Beino the Beino. Aruba Sam has the connotation of something which is a connecting force between a husband and a wife. So the connection that existed between David's brothers and their wives, so provide them something that will help to secure the necessary steps that must be taken in order to respect that connection. In this case, that meant to see to it that there be a get provided for the wives so that they not be in an aguna situation. It's sort of a little bit of a paradoxical display of marital love to give one's wife a get, in order to get rid of the wife, but in order to protect the wife from being an aguna. So that's what the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos says, and the context of the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos is explaining why it is that Bathsheba was not prohibited to David. David was very much criticized for having his relationship with Bathsheba, who was married to Uriah Hiti. But nonetheless, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara says, Kol Omer, David chata einu ela toeh. David didn't really commit adultery. He committed something that looked like adultery, but it wasn't actually adultery. Why is that? Because Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, among Subas Daf Testament Aleph, Kol Yotzin Mocheves Beis David, Mocheves Beis David. Anybody who was a soldier who went out to war in the days of David Melech, get Christus Kosev Liishto. He wrote a get Christus, so therefore, the Gemara indicates that Bathsheba was really divorced, so it wasn't an Aveira of Eishes Ish when David had his relationship with Bathsheba. Rashi, source number two, says, get Christus Nosein Liishto, Shemiyamas Mimochama, Yehe get Miyam Ksivaso, that it was a conditional get. That before the soldiers went out, including Uriah, they would give a get to their wives, but it would be conditional that in the event that they would die, Rashi doesn't indicate that it's based on the concern that the soldier will be missing in action, MIA, and we just won't be able to tell whether they died or not. No, we assume that, says Rashi, that they will find out that they died. But it could be they don't have any children. They don't want to leave their wives in a chalisa situation to be an almana as opposed to a grusha. So therefore, they stipulated when they gave the get, hey, get me on ksivaso. The get will be chal. The get will take effect from the day that it was written retroactively. So it turned out, Uriah, as we know, eventually died. So when he died, so then Iglai Milsa the Mafreya, it turned out he was really divorced from the very beginning of the war. And David HaMelech didn't sin after all because Bathsheba wasn't really an Eishes Ish. Now, yes.
How's that different from the wife who violates her neder that her husband was Mayfair and she didn't know?
Hashem Yislach Lo, but she thinks she's doing an Aveira here. Possibly Bathsheba figured, look, maybe I'm doing an Aveira, maybe I'm not doing an Aveira. Another answer the Gemara gives is that it was an onus. That she wasn't hasam onus of her, that she wasn't in control of the situation. It was David who forced himself. So then you wouldn't be able to fault her. You would be able to fault him. But let's say it wasn't an onus. So then you'd say that she would require kapara. But nonetheless, kapara for thinking that for taking a chance that maybe her husband's not going to die. But at the end of the day, still she wouldn't be considered to be an Eishes Ish in the sense of becoming asura to David in the way that we would say k'shem she'asa she'asura lebal kach asura lebal. So he wouldn't say that. Rashi points out, David lamed miishai aviv. David learned this. He learned this idea of ensuring that all the soldiers would do a get from his father, because that was what we learned from Ves Aruvasam Tikach, which was a methodology that was already practiced by Yishai Avi David. However, Balaturim, Alachumish in Sefer Bamidbar, points out in the entire story we have Matus Masei regarding the tribes of Reuben, Gad, that wanted to go and have a place on the eastern side of the Yarden, and they were given a Tanai by Moshe Rabbeinu that they would first have to fulfill their commitment that they're going to go as Chalutzim, as the pioneer soldiers, to fight the battle on the western side of the Jordan River if they really wanted to obtain their Yerusha on the eastern side of the Jordan River. So the Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk of Zayin, Vavadecha Yavru Ko Chalutz Tzava Lipnei Hashem Nemelchama. Every single Chalutz shall go out to war before their brethren, right? So the Kasher Adoni Dover, as was promised. So the Balaturim says, where did I see that word Chalutz Tzava before? Chalutz. Let's think of where we find elsewhere in the Torah Chalutz. Where else do we find it besides this Chalutz Tzava? So he says we find it with respect to Chalutz Hanal. We find it in the context of Chalitza, when a Yavama is going to be freed by her brother-in-law to marry somebody else other than the brother-in-law, so she takes off the shoe, and that becomes Chalutz Hanal. Behind the Arminan, says the Baal Turin, the reason why we use the same word in both contexts is because this is connected to Kol Yotze Nemelchemes Beis David, everybody who went out to war in the times of David, Amalek, Kisus Kosei Lishta, would write this get, so that they would not be subject to needing to do yibum, because they'd be considered to be a grusha rather than an almana if they died. In which case, of the second type of chalutz hanav would not become necessary. Adds the Baal HaTuvim, you think I'm just giving you a cute board? No. This pasuk is teaching us a historical fact. What's the historical fact? V'shamina mikan shegam Moshe asa came. So we see from this that this practice did not begin with David HaMelech. It didn't begin with Yishai. It began with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu began this practice. We menu lama David. It was from Moshe Rabbeinu that David learned this idea of having a Get Mochama commission. And that's why Chalutz Tzava is specifically used in this terminology to teach us that it's connected to Chalutz Tzanal. So Rabbi J. David Blythe, in an article that he wrote in the first volume of the Contemporary Halakhic Problems, points out that this appears to be the first example that we have in all of Torah literature. It's recorded according to the Baal HaTuvim. It's actually in the Torah Shebichtav of Takanas Agunos, of taking active steps in order to prevent aguna situations. It's precisely in this context of a get milchama. And this is something that has been practiced from time immemorial. Even in recent times, it was practiced in the Russo-Japanese War. In 1905, it was practiced in World War I. It's practiced in World War II. Practiced in the Vietnam War. Rabbi Chaim Jacker has an article in which he lists all the different wars in which this was utilized. In my own experience, from when I came into the Bez Din world in the late 1990s, so this was used in the Iraqi War after 2001, the Iraqi War, Afghanistan War, when there were soldiers, chaplains going off, so they would contact the Bez Din office saying, oh, do you have one of those get authorization forms that can be filled out in case it would be necessary? They weren't doing it for Yibum or Chalitza situations per se. They were doing it in case they would go disappearing or they would never be heard from again. They would become prisoners of war indefinitely. That they would want their wives to be able to remarry. And over the past few weeks, we have received some requests of individuals who were here in America, who were Army reservists in Eretz Yisrael, volunteering their services and so forth, also to obtain forms of this get authorization form. There's a rabbi in Beit Shemesh who has been distributing his own version of the form that authorizes for a getza to be written. So it's important to understand the nature of this get. We saw from Rashi said it's a conditional get. Whoever does conditional getting, I wouldn't know how to do a conditional get. It's very complicated. There are several simanim in the Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer from around Kuf Mem Gimel, Kuf Mem Zayin, and so forth that tell you all of the different nuances and all of the requirements and all of the details that are necessary in order to do a conditional get. It's not something that you want to try in your own Beis Din. It's a very, very confusing, complicated thing, and it's easy to get it wrong. Tanai couple, when exactly, where exactly the Tanai is supposed to be placed. It's and what Tanayim are considered to be acceptable, what Tanayim are going to be considered to invalidate the get because they will create a lack of krisus, because they're going to create a permanent bond and connection between the husband and the wife. So you have to be very, very careful when it comes to doing a get out tonight. So in fact, Rashi is not the only parish of this Gemara. There's also Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam asked a couple of questions on Rashi. If you look in Source 3, this is the Tosos, in Ksuvah Sadap Tesab Amud Beis, Rabbeinu Tam says that, first of all, the phraseology doesn't make sense according to Rashi. It says, Kol HaYotzei L'Milchama, everybody was doing this. According to Rashi, that the concern was Shema Yomas for Milchama, a person's going to die in war, so then it would presumably only be necessary for somebody who needed the wife to be a grusha as opposed to an almana, namely somebody who didn't have any children, and we want to avoid a Yibum or Chalitza situation as opposed to somebody who actually did have children. Furthermore, Rashi points out that when a get is given up on a particular day, and a person says, I want the get, he gives it to his wife, and he says, I want the get to be chal today, mehayom, in the event of death, in the event that the person would die. So Tosos points out that it appears, at least from the Tosefta, that the actual time of chalos, the effective date that the get becomes that becomes valid is not the day that it's actually given, but it's considered it's assumed that the husband meant it should be the last possible moment before he dies, like one moment or one day before he dies. In which case, all of the days in between, they're still considered to be 100% married, and then there would be no justification for David having been together with Bathsheba. She would have been an Eish HaSish HaMamish during the time that they had relations. So he said, well, that part we can get out of. We can say that that's only the default to understanding, but if the person is explicit that they really want the get to be chal, to be effective as of right now, this very moment, shepivish behedya shiachum ishas ksiva, that the person spelled out that it should be chal immediately, okay, so then under those circumstances, it's going to be chal immediately. So that we can get around. But he said, still, how could you justify David being together with Bathsheba if it was conditional? Maybe Uriah would never die. It would only be an effective get in the event that Uriah would die, and the event that he wouldn't die, so then he would never be divorced from his wife, in which case it would have turned out, as you pointed out, that they both would have committed the sin of Eish HaSish. So how could you possibly take a chance like that? So there's the Gemara that indicates the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Testament Aleph, that refers to her as a suffix Eish HaSish, so maybe it really was taking a chance. So that's a possibility. But there also is simply the possibility as well, says Tosfos, that maybe what the Gemara means is something else entirely. So says the Tosfos that according to Rabbeinu Tam, really this get that was done b'shas melchama was something else entirely. Look three lines from the end of the Tosfos, end of the second paragraph. Rabbeinu Tam mefarish. Get krisus, kosev get krisus legami below shum tonight. Rabbeinu Tam said, you know what was really done, what the Gemara really means, is an unconditional get was given. By every single man who went out to war, there was an unconditional get given. This would be a little bit problematic for the men who were Kohanim, obviously, but for everybody else, the idea was that they were giving a get to their wife, and if they would come back for more, so there would be an expectation that they would get remarried at that point in time. That would be a possibility for every single person who wasn't a Kohen. So why then is it considered to be a suffix Eish HaSish? Why then do we refer to the Gemara in Baba Metzia to Bathsheba as a suffix Eish HaSish? So Rabbeinu Tam is a brilliant answer. He says the Pishahayu Megarishim Betzina, because this was all done privately. It wasn't meant to be done with public fanfare and publicity, because really the husband didn't want other predator men coming along and trying to steal away the wife just because she happened to be divorced. There was a sort of pact of understanding between the husband and the wife that they would remarry in the event that the husband would be zoche to come back from war, and he didn't want other people interfering with his marriage and trying to proposition his wife in the meantime. So it was done betzina. What?
There were no
Edom, I guess? The Edom. You need to have Edom. Edom is Sivakarati, but it wasn't done like in the public square. Like in Europe, when they would do a get, and out like in the public square, there would be lots of people there, so it should be advertised that the woman is now available. So they would do it quietly and privately. The truth is, most of our getting now is done much more privately, but there was a point in time in which people really wanted to publicize the fact that the woman was divorced and she's free and available, so it would be blasted over all of the media, or it would be certainly something that was done very publicly. In fact, the Beis Din of America got into trouble once, I believe this was in the early 1990s, where some woman got divorced, and one of the rabbis who was present went and told his wife, oh, you know, so-and-so got divorced today. And then the woman found out about it, and she felt that her confidentiality had been betrayed by the Beis Din, and I think it led to a possible lawsuit. It led to a revamping of the bylaws of the Beis Din to make it clear to anybody who worked at the Beis Din that confidentiality is the number one priority for everything that takes place in the Beis Din. So they approached this rabbi and said, what were you thinking when you told your wife? So he said, what are you talking? It was a European rug. And he said, like, in Europe, this was the way that you always did. You announced it to the whole world because that's the whole purpose a get is done, so everyone should know that the woman is now available. That's the idea. Right. Yeah, so that was, so it was an awakening that this was not necessarily the same expectations here in America. But Tosis is working within that framework. So Tosis, this type of get was done very, very privately.
And how is it private if they're all doing it?
Well, each one was.
Everybody knows that everybody's doing this.
It's a good point. It's a good point, but it still was not done with great
maybe
effort.
Maybe publicly, but everybody knew.
They didn't give a list of names and so forth. Maybe some people would opt out, and you wouldn't know who opted out and who didn't opt out. You know, right? I mean, they say kol hayotzei, but that's what Tosafot says. What?
Did the Kohanim actually go out to war back then?
That's a question. That's a separate issue. But the assumption is that sometimes you would have no choice. Certainly in the wars that were, Mechemes Mitzvah might be, and also in all the wars, remember Pinchas was a Meshuach Mechama, and in all of the wars that were fought, certainly outside of Eretz Yisrael, you didn't get to pick and choose. So when the Russians would conscript you, you know, into the army or to go into the war, you didn't get to say, oh, well, come on, I'm a Kohen. You know, but you could try, but. Alright, so, that they didn't want other men interfering. This is what Tosos says, and then Tosos repeats this elsewhere, like in Maseches Gittin. There in Maseches Gittin, if you look on page 2, says that why was she called a Suffolk Migureshis? So he says, he sort of continues the thought, the end of that Tosos, the Fisha Gerisha Besina, because of the fact that the garrison was done without a lot of public fanfare in each individual case, even though all the soldiers may have done it. It wasn't advertised, this particular man went out to war, this particular man gave a get, it wasn't known in any particular case, there was no absolute yedia that this particular man had given a get, since it wasn't publicized. You can infer, you can deduct, you can guess. However, you couldn't know for sure that this man gave a get. So in any particular, anybody looking in at this particular woman would have a suffix. Is she divorced? Is she not divorced? So that's why we would call her a suffix ishishish. But in reality, she really was a full-fledged divorced woman. Rabbeinu Tam's approach has advantage that you don't have all of the confusion about is the woman going to be divorced? Is she not going to be divorced? Whether you're going to do a tonight, or you're doing the tonight properly, you're not doing the tonight properly. We actually had this question in a different context. It happened more in my early years, actually, in the Bezdin world. I haven't had this so much lately, in the last few years. My first 5 years working in the Bezdin, I must have had 3 cases of this sort, sad sort of case. Man has Alzheimer's. A man is suffering from Alzheimer's. And there's a concern that he's going to get to the point that he has no cognition, recognition of his wife, his surroundings. He'll have to be put in long-term care. He's not even going to be together with his wife. And it might be a period of 20, 25 years that he's going to be in a state of non-recognition. Sometimes it happens to a man when he's relatively young. And he doesn't want his wife to be an aguna, that she basically is not going to have any kind of a conjugal life together with her husband. He might be living in some sort of a home, and she'll have a husband, but she'll essentially be an aguna because they won't be able to live together. So out of love, he wants to give her a get. The question is, do you give the get? In the meantime, he can only give the get while he has his faculties. So he doesn't want to give a get while he has his faculties, and then he'll have to leave her even sooner than it may have been necessary otherwise. On the other hand, he doesn't want to wait till it's too late, because then it's going to be too late. So can he give a get and just say the get is not going to be chal, it's not going to be effective until he already is mentally incapacitated. Well, if he's mentally incapacitated, at the time the get is chal, that also might be too late, because the get has to be given while he still has the ability to give the get. So some machlokes between the Torah and the Rambam, whether the get is completely batal or whether it's only no good midrabanan, and that comes up in this war, in the wartime gittin situation as well. How do we know that the man still has capacity if the get's going to be given later? We'll get to that. So the question was, what do you do in those cases? And Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz ruled in those cases that the get could be given. While the man still had capacity, it's when it should be given, but it should be given without any conditions. It should just be given 100% unconditionally. 100% unconditionally, But then they'll have to separate. So usually, by the time in which the get was being given, there was full-time care in the help in the house. So you had essentially a situation where there was a full-time caretaker, say a male caretaker, where you would not have yichud on the basis of the fact that there was somebody else there who would prevent there from being any yichud between the husband and wife, or the ex-husband and the ex-wife. And we would also usually procure a doctor's letter saying that based on the medical condition of the man in the state that he was in, that he was incapable of having relations anyway, which also obviated the yichud concern, because yichud is only concerned if the parties are actually able to have relations with each other. Very, very sad, tragic situations, but these were also gittin that were given for the sake of love, so that the wife would be able to move on in the event at the time that the husband would no longer have mental capacity. And these were obviously very thought out processes, but those were given unconditionally. And I find in general, it's not a good idea to have a get with all kinds of conditions or expectations attached that it's not going to be given over right away. It creates complications if you have to hold on to a get and you're not able to give it for a period of time. It's always good when you write a get, only write a get when the get is ready to be given over immediately. So Rabbeinu Tam's approach seems to be echoed by Rabbeinu Yochiel Miparis. This is source number 5, who says this is Hayarogel Beget Shchimira Legarish Legami Below Shum Tanai. There's another type of get that used to be given with a Tanai, and that was a man who was very, very ill, not Alzheimer's, but would be very ill at death's door, and also wanted to see to it that the wife not be an Omona, because there might have been a problematic situation with a brother of the husband who may not have been willing or available to do a chalitza, and therefore they would give a get, and the get would be conditional if the man recovers from his illness and the get is void, and if the man dies from his illness, then the get will be chal immediately or immediately prior to death. So they had such a types of a tanaim. Rabbeinu Yochiel Miparis, who lived in the 12th to 13th century, so he said, nothing doing, because there are lots of sfeikos whenever you do a get al tanai, the gimgom, and there's a lot of confusion. And therefore, he would simply say that he would make a condition, there'd be a chayim that would be accepted upon the parties, if he would get better. So they would take upon themselves an absolute promise with a chayim, with an excommunication ban, etc., that they would subject themselves to excommunication if they wouldn't remarry should the man get better, and that there would be a promise to pay various knatos, to pay penalties, there would be mashkonos, a collateral given in order to guarantee the performance that they would get remarried. And if there was the famous get remarried, and there was the famous get a case of the Get Me Vienna in 1611. Get Me Vienna, so a 16-year-old, very young chassan, was married and got very ill, and gave a get shlimira in the faction of the fashion of Yochiel Miparis, that it was given completely unconditionally. And then, but with all kinds of promises, lovey-dovey, they'll get married if he gets better. And miracle of miracles, the man got better. So he was able to recover from his illness, so he got better. But his kala got wiser. And she said, no, I don't want to remarry this guy. I have a get, and I want to go on with my life. I'll marry somebody else. And the man, and this boy was completely up in, he created an uproar. He was very agitated, as you can imagine, and there was a big debate among the Rabbanim as to whether this was a kosher get or not. The Maharam Lublin said the get is not kosher because he violated his promise, and the Sma and the Maharsha, who both lived at that time, they said that it's 100% kosher because it's an absolute unconditional get. That's what an unconditional get means. Okay, so the girl didn't keep her promise, so she should pay the penalty that she's supposed to pay and give whatever collateral is supposed to be given over, but the get is 100% kosher get. And that's how the vast majority of the authorities assume. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes from this, and he actually says there was one later authority, the Mishkanos Yaakov of Yaakov Mikarlin, who went along with the opinion of the Maharam Lublin that it was not a kosher get, but he said that he is absolutely astounded that anybody could hold that way, because all of the Gedolim at the time, they had a major convocation, and they said the get is a valid get, and the girl is allowed to go on with the life. And that's the idea of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis. So
there's no issue that he didn't really mean to give her a get?
He was told it's an absolute unconditional get. There was a side promise, but it wasn't a conditional get.
But in his mind, though, he really wasn't intending to
it. Doesn't matter. It's an unconditional get, and there was a promise that was made, but the promise is not tied into the get. You broke your promise, you broke your promise. So so shame on you for breaking your promise, but the get is not related to that. So it says the Maharsha, who was very involved with this debate, and the Maharshmul Edels, who lived at that time, certainly was 1611, was well in the middle of his life. So the Maharsha took the side of the girl, that she had that the get was a valid get, and he said that this idea of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, that we insist on doing unconditional gets in. Look at the second line in source 6. Amarti ki yisodo, the yisodo this is, ba'asma ma'shapira shabeinu tam betosus berak misha'afsu, ayat l'kwa yosim mochemes t'beis David. It comes from Rabbeinu Tam. It comes from Rabbeinu Tam. This exact idea, and that's why Bat Sheva was mataris l'David, because of the fact that it was done as an unconditional get, and you avoid all these problems that it should be a concern that, oh, retroactively it'll turn out that they're really married. That's precisely why we make it as a 100% unconditional get. So therefore, he says that this takana of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis with respect to the get shchimirah actually comes from Rabbeinu Tam. The Yoruch HaShulchan in source 7 over here in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin and Eben Ezer points out that there are other reasons not to use a tanai and a get. There's the sheet of the Rif that if you ever write a get, a tanai within the text of the get itself, then the get is 100% void, even though the Gemara gets it in Daf Pei Daled indicates it's only void if you write the tanai prior to the Torah, prior to the main section of the get, because then it looks like it's not really a get krisus, that it's somehow a conditional get and not a complete krisus. It has to be written after the Torah, which is generally after the names of the parties and so forth, and the date and the makom. But the Rif goes further, and he says, no, if you wrote it anywhere in the get, it would be no good. It has to, if you're going to do it tonight, it has to be only when the get is given over to the Shliach. And even that, it says the Yoruch HaShulchan, has to be only after the get has actually been written. And it's very confusing how you're going to do that correctly. And he says the way to do it is really that the get is not with it tonight, but you say to the Shliach, to the agent, you say to the agent, listen, I don't want the get to be given unless certain circumstances take place. And you say that to him beforehand, as you're schmoozing in the hallway with the shliach. And then when the husband gives over the get to the shliach, he says, oh, I'm giving over the get unconditionally. But then he says to the shliach, you can really give it over unconditionally, but you kind of know what I want. You kind of know what I want. So this way, it's conditional, but it's also unconditional. And it's sort of based on a good faith expectation. But says the Yoruch HaShulchan, I don't like any of these ideas. Whenever you have a tanai, look at what happened, even with the implied tanai situation of the get in Vienna, where there was sort of a certain expectation of people think there's a tanai or something like that. It leads to all kinds of pitfalls. That's why Rav Asher Weiss was just asked a couple of weeks ago. Somebody asked him, do you advocate that the soldiers are going off to the war right now against Hamas, that they execute a wartime get? Since I've gotten this question from a number of men, and I just think that, you know, if you only had an individualized situation, maybe, but if it's going to be everybody doing it, and it's going to be like this whole big movement, it's going to lead to a lot of confusion, it's kind of going to lead to kishlonos. So he took that language, presumably, out of the Yoruch HaShulchan, who says, it's going to lead to kishlonos. But that's assuming that, at least within the Yoruch HaShulchan, that it's a conditional get. If it's an unconditional get, it's not going to lead to kishlonos. So I'm not sure exactly what Rav Asher Weiss meant. But what he said was, what he's telling the men who approached him about doing this type of a get, he said he doesn't think that it's a good idea to do it as a wholesale thing nowadays. Could lead to kishlonos. But instead, he gives them a better solution. They won't need a get because they will come back safely from battle. And then he turns to a Kodesh Baruch Hu after the men leave and say, listen, you know, for Kavod Shemayim, for your own sake, I gave them a Baruch Hu, so you got to make sure, please, that they come home safely from battle. So that's pretty good. we get a bracha from a Vashuai Shlita, and I think in the Ochos Rebbeis, the Steik Lagon used to also give such brachas to people who would be interested in doing a wartime get, but there might be some people who don't have a chance to stop by Rav Asher Weiss's house in Ramot or wherever, and we have had individuals coming straight from, you know, going from America to Eretz Yisrael who have an interest in executing this type of get. It does seem like it has some type of a precedent, but what's interesting is that the way in which we do the get, the authorization nowadays is neither like Rashi nor like Rabbeinu Tam, but rather it is more in the form of having an authorization that the husband simply makes. Not he doesn't give over a get, not unconditionally and not conditionally. All that he does is he authorizes a sofer to write a get, two witnesses to sign the get, and a shliach, an agent, to deliver the get. And says that the Divrei Malkiel, that's where Malkiel Tannenbaum, who lived during the time of the Russo-Japanese War in 1905, it was a few years before he died. I think that was the war that he was talking about. So he said that they can do sort of a combination authorization which can be in writing, and this is based on a reliance on the Shita of the Rambam, or at least the Beis Yosef's interpretation of the Rambam, that when the Gemara says that we don't allow a deaf mute to authorize to get in writing, that just means a deaf mute. But somebody who has das, somebody who is perfectly mentally capable in every single way, so the same way they can authorize to get verbally, they can also authorize to get in writing. And in addition, there's the opinion of the Maharam Mibrisk, who said that since there is the Shita of, in the Rishonim of the Ra'ah and the Ran, who said that although we say that Midi v'Mimster and L'Shliach, so you can't say to a bunch of people, I want you to tell so-and-so to write again and tell so-and-so to sign again, that's not considered to be valid, but if you would say explicitly, I am hereby appointing the following sofer to write again, and I am hereby appointing the following Edim to sign the get and the following Shliach to deliver the get. So if you're doing it directly, just the person doesn't hear you because they're not in the room, that's called the Miloy Shlov Befanav. I'm not telling somebody else to tell them. I'm telling them. It's just that they're not in the room. I have two Edim who hear that I am appointing them to be the Sofer and the Edim. So according to the Ra'ah and the Ran, that's considered to be good. They said, don't act upon it, but the Maharshal said, nah, you could even act upon it. It's perfectly fine. So therefore, the Maharam Mibrisk said, so we're going to do both of these measures to be on the safe side. We'll have a get authorized in writing, and we will have the appointment of the Sofer and the Edim take place verbally, just not in their presence. If a person's able to do it in front of these people before he runs out to work, that's perfectly fine. But he has the different Malkiah says, sometimes the person's already on the battlefield. The Sofer and the Edim, surprise, surprise, they're not there anymore. So therefore, he has to do it long distance, and therefore that would be perfectly permissible. This is a way of being able to authorize the get without the get being written right away. So says the Divrei Malkiah, if I'm dealing with a chalitza situation where I'm worried that there are no children and we better write the get as soon as possible while we know that the person is still alive, okay, so maybe write the get right away. However, in all the other situations, you can wait. You can wait until the person comes back from war. If they come back from war, guess what? You don't have to write the get, do you? But if he doesn't come back from war, so then you say, you let a certain amount of time pass. He hasn't come back, so we don't know whether he's dead or whether he's alive. We don't want the wife to be an aguna. So at that point in time, we will have the get, we will have the get written. So that is the suggestion that is made by the Divrei Malkiah. I think there were others at the time as well who were making that suggestion. And that is essentially the way in which we have the get authorization forms for wartime done nowadays, so that the get doesn't have to be written right away. This has a lot of advantages, because if the get is written and delivered right away, so we already pointed out that there's one major, major problem, which Reuven was looking at me, and you know, we both share in the same concern, because we're both Kohanim, that it's going to be a major problem for Kohanim, because then the wives are not going to be able to remarry them afterwards. Number two, you have the Vienna get concern, which is, who says that the wife is going to remarry you afterwards? And from the wife's perspective, who says the husband's going to marry her afterwards? So this way, they are still married until the war is over, and then we see whether the first person comes back or not. And then we have another very interesting concern.
But what if he's dead?
So if
when, when it's delivered, what if he's dead? Can the get be delivered and effective if the husband is already dead? If he's not
of course not. Dead? Of course not. But I have, guess what I have? I have what's called a mimanavshach situation. Mimanavshach means, if not this, then that. So she's going to be free one way or another, unless it's a chalitza situation. If he's dead, so she's an amana. And if he's not dead, she's a grusha. Either way, she's able to remarry. That's the beauty of this solution, except it doesn't help for the chalitza situations. That's true. It doesn't help for those situations. She would have to do a chalitza l'chumra. If you were really genuinely worried about that, so maybe the get really would have to be given out right away. The other thing that the Divrei Malkiel added, which is another stroke of brilliance, is that we have a Mishnah that says a person is mushlach babor. He's lying inside of a pit. And he's the figures he's not going to last too much longer, but he's going to just scream out. Anybody who hears my voice, he doesn't know who's in the area. Anybody who hears my voice, please, 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 you know, write again to my wife. And we say, that works, that works. He didn't appoint Sophie Plony and say, oh, Rabbi Nathan, write a gift for my wife. He just said, anybody who hears my voice. So how is that good enough? So Tosa says that's considered to be to Yiched Yachde, because he identified a finite group of people, a subset of people. Anybody who hears my voice, that's considered to be a specific authorization. So Divrei Malkiel said, if the guest's not going to be written right away, he appointed a particular Sophie, a particular Eitim, who says they're going to live forever. They may not, when we get around to writing the get, 2 years from now, 4 years from now, whatever, it could be that not everyone's going to be around or available anymore. So therefore, as an additional fail-safe, he should add, anybody who sees my signature on this form, anybody who sees my signature is authorized to write the get. It's a subset of people who see the form, and it's authorized, and two of them are authorized to be witnesses, and one of them is authorized to be the agent, to deliver the get to my wife. So therefore, he added in, based on that Mishnah and that Tosfos, this specific designation as well. So because I already said over the Maharam Mibriska, so you have the advantage that you can skip all the way to page 5 at this point. And the next step is looking at what we actually do nowadays. So the other concern that I was going to fill in is that we're worried a little bit about furloughs. What if you have a fellow who authorized to get, and now it's he says when he doesn't, if he doesn't come back from the battlefield and so forth, so the get can be written. But in the meantime, we know that this happens even in the Israeli army. They let a person off for Shabbos and they can spend some time with the wife, but they already authorized the get. So do they have to authorize a new get at that point in time? So said Rav Chaim Ozer in a short tshuva that he wrote to Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog. So he wrote a short tshuva in which he said, yes, if they are going to be together, so each time a new get will have to be authorized. So Rav Moshe Feinstein had some very interesting suggestion that he wrote. This is in the late 60s. It must have been in the context of the Vietnam War at the time. So Moshe Feinstein, first of all, he went back to Rashi for some reason, which I don't think is the common practice, and spoke about doing a get al Tanai, that it's going to be chal later on, it's going to be chal in the event that the person does not return from war, it will be chal at that point in time. He says that, in addition, in the event he says it's going to be chal like right now if he doesn't return, but then he says, in the event that I do return, and I am together with my wife, so then I'm also authorizing the sofer and the eidim to write a new get at that point in time. And every single time that I would come back, that they would keep on writing new gittin until the war ends. So he has sort of a prospective appointment of many gittin that could each be written each time that he would have a furlough and be together with his wife. What's the concern? The concern is that the Gemara speaks about, if a fellow is together with his wife, that there's a concern of Shema Pies, that maybe they, if they were planning to get divorced, if they were together with each other, they had yichud with each other, they had relations with each other, so maybe that means the husband was mevatel of the get, because if he really wants to be with his wife, so then he's not interested in getting divorced anymore. So that was the concern that was being addressed by Rav Moshe Feinstein. On the other hand, there is a possibility that maybe that's not really such a major concern. Why wouldn't that be such a major concern? So here, the Tzitz Eliezer, just to jump a little bit, source 19 on the bottom of page 7, so he was dealing with a case right before the Tzkufa Shlipnei Mochemesh Sheshes Yomim. It was a period right before the Six Day War that a young man came in front of him and he was going out to some wartime, some assignment for the army, and then the Six Day War broke out shortly thereafter, but he was concerned that he might not make it back, and he wanted to just protect his wife, and he wanted to do this type of a get authorization. But he was going, look at page 8 of so letter Aos Aleph, he's going to come back and forth, and he's going to be with his wife. Maybe that's going to be a bittul of the get. So he points out that there is a shita of the Re'im, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, that's quoted in the Ber Hetev in Simon Kuf Mem Ches and Eben Ezer, that if the get has not yet been written, a person who wants to go to Medina Sayam, and he tells the sofer to write a get after a certain number of years would pass if he doesn't come back, and he appoints the various witnesses to sign on the get and so forth, and then it turns out that he doesn't leave right away. He spends a couple of days because his boat doesn't take off or whatever, so he's back in his house a couple of days. So the Reim says he was only doing this basically to protect his wife, so we're not really worried that he was mebatel to get afterwards. So then the Tzitz Eliezer asks, this goes against the Rambam in Perek Tes Hilchos Gerushin that says that after a man authorizes the get to be written and signed and hasn't been written yet, if he's together with his wife, so the get authorization is considered to be completely nullified, and therefore it's going to be a get batel. And according to the Ramban, it's not a get batel, it's only a suffix if he nullified it, but it's a suffix gerushin. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins is a suffix gerushin. So how could the Re'im, quoted by the Be'er Heitev, without like even batting an eyelash, say, oh yeah, this is perfectly fine? It goes against how we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. It goes against the Rambam, goes against the Ramban. How can such a thing be? So he quotes Rav Yecheskel of Ramsky, who said, so this is also something that you found in the Ma'aritat, a much earlier authority, that no, there's a very, very big difference. Look at the second to last paragraph on page 8. No problem. The whole reason he's giving a get is not because he hates his wife. The whole reason is because he loves his wife. So his wife won't be an agun if he doesn't return. So whenever he comes home, he's not being mevatel the get. I'll see there again. I'll see nasli yadisha, because the same concern exists. It's not like a man who's writing a get, who authorizes a get to be written because he hates his wife, and then he's living together with his wife. So then we assume that he reconciled, so he was mevatel the get authorization because it's in contradiction to his emotional state, to the relationship state between the couple when he authorized the get. But here there's no contradiction. It's only in support of the basic relationship of love that exists between the parties. So therefore would not be a bittul get. He says this case is a little bit harder because in the Tzitz Eliezer's case, the person hadn't left altogether yet. It's like he went to catch his train, went to catch the boat, and the boat wasn't leaving, so he came back home, so he never really got off the ground in the first place. So he says that maybe here, since he didn't even go out altogether, maybe he never had that mindset to divorce that he would have had if, like, a man went out to the battlefield. He never went into the battlefield altogether. But he said, here, you can rely on two other factors. You look on the top of page 9. One is based on the Ma'aritatz, who says that if the person accepts upon himself the Chayim Mishvuas HaTorah, He takes upon himself, but with an utter, absolute Torah oath, Al Das Bezdin, Shalol Levatel Aseget, he'll never be Mevatel Get. He's like, he takes upon himself a an excommunication, a solemn oath of the Torah. We don't generally allow this, as we've said in previous Shirim, but we also said in this particular context, we do allow it in order to ensure a woman not be an aguna, so he takes a shvua that he's not going to be Mevatel Get. Secondly, he can say, and this is based on a Gemara, in Gittin, and Daf Ayin Vav, Amin Aleph, Rav Huna, in the name of his father, Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, that a man can say, this is when a person gives a get to his wife if he doesn't return in 12 months. Maybe he did return in 12 months. So he says, no, Ne'emenes alai loma lobasi. His wife should be trusted to say that he didn't come back. So he could say the same thing over here. V'chein ishto tehei ne'emenes kamei edim shlo bitulas l'shlichus. That he's giving his wife ne'emenes that he wasn't mevatel the shlichus. So you have all of these things put together, so then you avoid all of these problems. Briefly, the Minchas Olazim in source 18 dealt with the question of what about the concern that maybe at the time that the get is written, the man is missing in action, and he is also maybe not does not have his mental faculties. Maybe he was tortured, and maybe he no longer is able to think straight, so he wouldn't have the mental capacity to give a get anymore. In which case, the get would be void, at least on a Drabana level, if not a Deraisa level. So the Minchas Olazim of the Munkacher answered. They said we have a sfeik over here. Sfeik, number one, maybe he's dead. And number two, if he's alive, maybe he does have his wits about him. And secondly, he also brings raya from the Gemara that we generally assume, unless we have very strong reason to believe to the contrary, that if a person, if he is alive, was shafoi b'daito, had his wits about him when he left, and he still has his wits about him. He says you could check in all the hospitals after the war, in all of the prisoner of war hospitals or veterans hospitals, whether the fellow is hospitalized. But if you don't find him in any of the hospitals, so then you can assume that if he's not hospitalized, that he still has his wits about him. And for that reason, he says it's perfectly fine to do the get, but he also very strongly advocates that you not do a get out tonight based on Rav Yechiel Miparis, that it be a completely unconditional get. And as I said, our approach is to just have the get authorization where you avoid all these problems in terms of the furloughs. So Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog also says very similarly to Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Take a look at source 20. He says, you don't have to worry about a bittel of the get because lami yabatel. That's only the person wants to divorce his wife because he hates her. It's a beautiful, beautiful terminology. He wants to do it mechamas ava based on his love. So if he's doing it out of love, so the fact that he's demonstrating greater love by coming back and being with his wife, you're going to tell me he's mevatel the get. Of course he wasn't mevatel the get under those circumstances. So one of the cases that came to our attention the last couple of weeks, one of the rabbis, it was an out-of-town rabbi, who called me and said, somebody told me he's going off to war, now he's a reservist, he's going back to Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to do one of these get authorizations for his wife, but he wants to do it, he has to leave first thing in the morning or whatever, he wants to be able to take care of the get the previous afternoon, be with his wife that night, and then he's going to go off. He's going to at least have yichud with his wife that night. So is that going to be okay? Can we rely upon this type of esvara? So first of all, Tzitz Eliezer said that if he didn't first go to the battlefield, so then it's potentially more problematic. In the Tzitz Eliezer, he says maybe if you have the shvua and you also have the person gives nemanus to his wife, so maybe that makes it better. The Tzitz Eliezer said Baruch Hashem in the end, we didn't have to do it. I don't know if that meant we didn't have to do the authorization. Or we didn't have to write the get. I think that's what he meant, because he came back safely. Baruch Hashem came back safely. In all the cases that I've dealt with over the years in the Beis Din, I've only had like maybe 10 of these types of authorizations, between 5 and 10 probably. Baruch Hashem, we never had to actually write the get. You know, it should be a good segula. But in this case, it was very interesting, because the rabbi told me this man is planning to divorce his wife anyway. But he figures, since he's going off to the war, you know, why not take care of it now? So it makes a lot of sense. Why not do a wartime authorization yet? So he said, no, but it's much more problematic, especially if they're going to live together afterwards. Oh, Now you're major problems. Instead, that's a, you don't have the heter anymore because it's not machlasi. You don't have the heter of Yechezkel the Bramstein and Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Levi Herzog because it's already a machlasi. They explained to the course already. So Amish Maisa Shaya came up. I'm sorry, Rabbi Zelda, you had a question before.
I was just going to ask, what did you give to the shliach and the shliach died?
So same thing. So you also say, so you don't give the get to the shliach. You're 100% right. So in this case, instead of giving it to the shliach, you say the get's not being written yet. I give authorization to anybody who sees this form, any adim who see this form, that anybody can, one of them can write the get, two of them will be adim to sign the get, and one of them will be a shliach to deliver the get. He'll name a shliach, but he'll say, in the event that shliach is not alive anymore, we're not available, so anybody who sees this form can serve as a shliach to deliver the get. 100%.
The rabbi in Beit Shemesh, is he using this?
No! The rabbi in Beit Shemesh is using this. Shabi Tachon, it's a Hebrew document. What I have is an English document, but I will get to that in a second. We have a couple of seconds. So the Heichal Yitzchak has in his particular form, he says that in the event that he doesn't come back within a certain amount of time, the time that they give is 1 year. And this 1 year time is very interesting because it is based upon the idea of Neva Zichro. That after a certain period of time, if a person doesn't return, so then we assume that there's a better chance that they're actually dead. So that's like we spoke about a Mayim She'em Lehem Sof situation, right? If a person is seen by an aide to go and drown in water that has that does not have clear boundaries to it, that normally we're worried that maybe there's a mute, a minority possibility that the person may have survived. So we say that in the event that the woman is not allowed to marry, to remarry. But if she did remarry, so then we don't require her to get a get. Right? That's a Mayim She'em Lehem Sof situation. So Shulchan Aruch codifies that and says, but you need at least Neva Zichro. In order to rely upon that heter, you need various things to be in place. And one of the things that you need to be in place is a Neva Zichro, that at least 1 year has passed, so that we can rely upon the strong probability. Number one, it was Mayim She'em Lehem Sof, situation where most people drown. And number two, a year has passed and he hasn't been heard from. So on that basis, she can be made married. So the Minchas Elozer says that you also should wait 1 year of a Zichro in all the forms. Have this sort of 1 year idea where they say that if the person doesn't come back within 1 year, Rak, take a look at the Heichal Yitzchak, source 21, about 10 lines in. Rak, Akareya, Bula, Facho, Shana, Meoso, Yom, Shiyukru, Achayolam, Ayudim, Ashbuyim, from the time that all of the Jewish captives are freed from the Oyev, Halavai, that all of the captives should be freed immediately today. That even if in the intervening days, till it's known that I'm one of those who are lost, if I come back on furlough, the shlichus shall not be nullified. My wife will be believed like an edim, and he mekabelai b'chemish was a torah shlobatul as a shlichus. So the form that we have, wartime get authorization, Chicago Rabbinical Council. Here it is. I'm ready to go, if anybody should request it. It says that I'm appointing Rabbi Nathan to write again, and the various adim to sign again, and so forth. And then it says, after all of this, should any, this is about halfway of the way down, should any of the above-mentioned individuals be unable or unwilling to fulfill the task, I also appoint anyone who will see my signature on this form to act as scribe to write the bill of divorce. Any two witnesses who see my signature on this form to act as witnesses to the will of divorce. Anyone who sees my signature on this form, Rabbi Zeldin, to act as my agent to deliver the bill of divorce to my above-mentioned wife or her agent. And then I also write that my permission is the get shall be written and delivered only when it's determined by any single member of the Bethan that I am unlikely to return from military service, and I write this get to release my wife from the chains of Igun. We actually don't mention the 1 year. Maybe we should. Under no circumstance... Oh, we do. I'm sorry. I was Choshed B'Sherim myself. Under no circumstances shall this get be written within a year of my disappearance. Okay. I explicitly state that if I should return to be with my wife on occasion after this document is signed and we reside together as a couple, I am not nullifying this appointment of agency to write, sign, deliver the get to my wife. And again, my wife should be released 100 witnesses that I did not nullify the agency see an ayin to take with an oath of the Torah, I will not nullify the effect. So we have all those shown us from all of these different poskim as to how to ensure that we're not going to have these problems, as is outlined in the Tzitz Eliezer, to have the Chayim, the Shavuos, the Torah, and the Nemanus of the wife, and the Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog's idea of the furlough, where you make it clear that even if there would be a furlough, there would be no nullification of the get.
It's for Kohanim also.
This would work for Kohanim. The great thing about it is that there is no actual get that is written until we figure that the fellow is probably dead anyway, but we're just not 100% sure. So therefore, you don't have the problems with respect to the Kohen. You don't have the problems with respect to, oh, are they going to get remarried to each other? Because they're considered married the entire time. And you don't have the furlough problems for the reasons that I mentioned, and you don't have the concern that some of the post command you're going to write like a bunch of gittin at once there, like when everyone shows up, it's going to be like such a crazy, like a parse that Arab, you know, so you're bound to like make a mistake. So therefore, everything is able to be done the yishu badas only when it is absolutely necessary. The form that's circulating Shabbi Tachon that actually also mentions various individuals, members of the Rabbinical Council of America, to serve as sofer, eidim, mashiach, as the case may be, is not an actual Rabbinical Council of America form, but from, I think, a well-meaning rabbi who has a similar type of form, but I think not necessarily written quite with the level of detail that we have, and also throws in that in the event that this person is nafal l'choli, that he becomes very sick in a way that he's mentally incapacitated, not able to give a get for that reason, then he also authorizes the writing of the get, which we know is very problematic halachically, but this Rav has written a separate article as to why he thinks that maybe you can rely on Zach of the Ogum Shlobi Bottom in those circumstances, and this way the fellow makes it clear that if he would be like in a coma or something like that, the get could be written. So he drew that in, but we didn't really want to get into that territory per se, because that's sort of a separate inyan. They were just concerned about, you know, wartime missing soldiers who we are not sure are dead or alive.
Do you have the Hebrew version of this? Do you have a Hebrew or just English?
In terms of the Bez American form, I only have the English, but as an additional bonus, where this form that is used by the RCA and by Chicago Rabbinical Council, where it's kind of all the Lashonos come from, if you want an English form with Yiddish yet, so here is the official 1942 form of the RCA that was to be used in connection with World War II, which was sort of a precursor to the form that we have today. It's also used in the Vietnam War and in other skirmishes and wars that have taken place since at that time. So we give, again, a bracha that this should only be, you know, theoretical going forward, and that the bracha that Rabbi Weiss, Rabbi Yoshe Weiss, has been giving to all the soldiers, so that bracha should be chal on all the soldiers, that they should all come back safely, and all the shvuyim should come back safely as well.
Amen.